Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so stoked when I get to turn on the mic and talk about marketing. And talk about how we're going to hook better leads. And we're also going to talk about how much marketing agencies suck. Wait. We're a marketing company, and I'm going to say Mark, it's a play on words, tribe. And you got to go back and check out the podcast where we got to be on Tim's podcast where we were featured, and it was called Hook Better Leads. And it was a great conversation, and we're stoked to have him back here. But to do that, I also had to bring back my marketing director to talk about why marketing agencies don't suck as my marketing director, Scott Hicken. So he got to be on his podcast. Now we're going to have him on the Art of Construction podcast. It's going to be a fun journey today, huh, Scotty?
Oh, it's going to be a great one, Devin. Thanks for having me back on the mic. Excited to come and talk with Tim today. As you know, and as a lot of our listeners know, we've been on a journey marketing Art of Construction for the past 2.5 years now with the podcast and all these great brands we're working on. And there's a million ways that you can do it. And a lot of people do it wrong, but we're big fans of Tim as we see that he's doing it right. And so we wanted to explore that nuance and see what he does that others don't and what contractors can learn from it.
Yeah. And if you, when you listen to the bookend of our podcast, it talks about Devin Tilley, a micro influencer and most of the time a disruptor. And that is where I'm pumped to have Tim Brown come in and talk about where, you know, he is edgy, but he really practices what he preached. And we're going to get into the riches and the niches and talk through the hook agency today and talk through the why behind the marketing. And if you confuse, you lose. That's where, like Donald Miller with the story brand, I'm a big fan of those things to where we have all these different ideas and try to do everything. But if you do everything, you're going to do nothing at all. And that's where I'm excited to have Scott come in, ask some clarifying questions to really help you contractors and affiliates grow your business in a way to have as much fun as possible in our undertone of always helping each other build better buildings. So Tim Brown is the founder of the Hook Agency. And what his whole thing is all about is helping smart contractors hook better leads. And they have a Google specialized team to help with that. So they have a great team that we're going to go and learn more about the Hook Agency. And my perspective for today, as you as a contractor in the digital age, you must own your marketing. And we're going to talk about how you own that, because the undertone is, wait, Devin, I don't have time for this. You tell me I have to go build better buildings and be the art of construction. Well, that's what these artists do. They help us make our art come to life. What's your perspective, Scotty?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, there's a million different ways you could do marketing as far as hiring an agency, hiring someone in-house. We had some great debates back on Tim's podcast about the difference between those two and when you need to do it. And so I'm excited to explore that today, because in the busy world, we're trying to build better buildings. It sucks when you do marketing wrong a bunch of times in a row, because it's just all that wasted time. We know what that's like, Devin, and we've built better systems to avoid that. We want to help the contractors that listen to this podcast do the same thing.
I raise my hand, tribe. I want to build better buildings just like you, but how do we get the right message out? That's what we're going to talk about and get to know Tim's story, have as much fun as possible to build better buildings. Ready to go, Scotty?
Let's do it.
Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
Energy Rush. It's on Amazon. It's 33 cents a serving, and it's twice the caffeine of Red Bull.
Here we go.
Twice the caffeine of Red Bull. You really need twice the caffeine as Red Bull, Tim?
Hey, it's on my bio on the website. It says always caffeinated, so I got to live up to that.
Attaboy. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Italy, for sure. It's kind of the most like classy, exotic place I've been. Family roots there. Gorgeous place. So Italy background, Italian heritage. And then we went there for our honeymoon.
Ooh, one story from the trips there. Give us one example.
Went to a beach that my grandma or my great-great-grandma essentially traveled from. Like, she came from that beach or that beach town over to the United States, and she took a shot and married some random guy to get over here. And that's my great, great grandpa. And anyways, it was a dusty town, but it was beautiful. And it was kind of funny to think about somebody leaving that town to then come over to the Midwest with all of our snow and cold. So it's a funny, just a funny thought. It was a beautiful spot.
Yeah. There's a picture track of family heritage there for you, right?
Yeah.
So what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down? But first, what do you do outside of hooking better leads for our contractors and affiliates that is your passion?
Music, playing music with friends, painting, spattering paint on canvases, and just being outdoors working on our house.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about you, but let's go down this journey together. And what's your story that led you to starting the Hook Agency?
So I made websites. I was originally a web designer after I took a shot at rock stardom, went and started making websites and really liked marketing for the music thing too. Like trying to get the music out there. Just my music wasn't that great. And I did get sick of making pretty websites that no one ever saw. So that was the other thing. It's kind of an evolution there. And I did get to be a marketing director at another company and was able to double leads over the course of a year. And so for that reason, I found that I could make business happen. Basically, that's a pretty big piece of business to be able to make leads happen. So I started my own company and my wife joined up, and basically a big first client was a roofing company that we were able to help go from basically less than 50 leads to over now 5 years later, over 1,000 a year. And he's 28. So he's now hitting 5 million and he's 28 years old. And we've been a part of that in our, in his 20s and my 30s now. And a big piece of that is just, we realized we're really good at this in the home services business. So that's been a piece of the niching as well.
I love that story. It's like, I find when we get to interview and get to know people, they usually don't just wake up saying, I want to give leads to contractors. They come from some other direction, right? And especially my creatives on the Art of Construction team. But then we get into this and it's like, whoa, there's so much to be done here.
Mm-hmm.
But then after you do it for a while, then you got to go past that experimental stage, just like you went through your music to this and that. And then you got to niche in.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought the timing was perfect for the Art of Construction tribe to hear your story is that you're very active on social media and that's the future and how people are going to buy, but you practice what you preach and you talk about how you should niche in. And you made the announcement is that you're going to officially only taking contractors as clients.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask you why, when you want to niche in, and this podcast is for contractors and affiliates to grow their business, why do you like working with contractors best?
I love contractors because they don't mess around. Honestly, they don't pull punches. They believe in investing in things. That's part of their job is investing in materials. And I like that they know how to spend money. That's part of it. They do real stuff, as opposed to like startups and IT companies and even companies like us. You know, we sell this like ethereal, like service-based business thing. It gets so like esoteric and out there. Also, in my business at the beginning, somebody said to me, a business coach said to me, the whole thing about riches are in the niches, pursuing a niche. What do you want to pursue a niche? I had three clients that were construction or home services out of like seven clients, right? When I first started, and I was doing good work with all of them. Those were the clients where I felt like I was getting the most traction in what I was doing. And I liked their vibe. Like they'd come into our office. I felt like they're friends. I felt like I was the most honest with those people and they were the most honest with me and they were encouraging. They thought it was cool that I had taken this leap to be out on my own. And I think that that's a thing about contractors a lot of times where they're like really into entrepreneurship and they believe people can do it. And they were encouraging to me. So I guess it's like just that vibe of like being part, I felt like I was part of that tribe a little bit weirdly. And honestly, it kind of goes back to, you know, I've framed houses. I was terrible at it, but I've framed houses and I've laid shingles and I've dug rock, you know, from you know, early 20s and stuff like that. And I basically had a lot of respect for the work that they did. And I had a lot of like people that I worked with that were really cool. So I guess I've just, it's a little bit of that too. Just like, I enjoyed working with those people back when I was digging rock.
And I think that's vital, Tim, because
yeah,
as another marketing person, if you're just talking about stuff that is boring to you or not interesting to you, that you don't personally relate to in any way, shape, or form, it's not fun. And I don't think you do as good a marketing work.
Exactly. And marketing is weird. You kind of have to like have a little energy and passion. And because like it comes through when you're typing the words out onto the page, when you're making that social media post, if you don't have a little bit of life, like if you don't make it fun, interesting, you know,
wait, if you say this is boring and this industry sucks, yeah, and all the old school stuff about, this is just sucks, there's not enough workers and this, yeah, is too expensive. That really gets you pumped up, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like it's the Debbie Downer thing. And like, I get it. There's a lot of difficulties going on. The materials are stupid expensive. Labor is short. But ultimately we got to create a party going on. And like, that's part of like recruiting is a big piece for a lot of the companies we're working with. How do you make this company fun enough that people want to be here? And damn, do you know
they're not going to want to work for you if you say this industry sucks, come work for me. Yeah.
Did you know that it's the top, the most quitting is happening this month, this past month, compared to the last 20 years, because people are coming out of the pandemic and are like, it's time to shake it up. I waited a year and a half and now I'm going to like make my move. So.
And they go to work for a company over a social media post, not some HR recruiting person who's been there forever. Right.
Like exactly.
Scotty is in the whole mantra of always be marketing. We'll get into that, but let's niche in. Scott, what's next?
Yeah. So what we're trying to really do here is help the contractors listening to this podcast know how to find a Tim or how to find a me, how to find either an in-house marketing person or an agency that's really going to help take them to the next level. And we're talking a lot about kind of the messaging behind this industry as a whole and how it's exciting. And you need people that really feel that way. And that could even help with the labor shortage, which is a whole other conversation. But when you're in the construction industry, really any industry, there's the whole overarching storyline you need to know, you know, your brand. And then as you niche in, you know, obviously your website, social media content, all that stuff. So Tim, when you're working with contractors and people come to you, how do you help them understand what kind of marketing they need versus like a full suite of services, you know, do everything for us, or, hey, we're just getting started, we just kind of need to understand our brand and our storyline. How does a contractor know at what stage of the business to know what kind of marketing services they need and who they should turn for?
Yeah, I think the phases are testing, trying stuff. We all have to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. So we're all doing that. No one knows. No one's like born an entrepreneur, knows exactly what they need to do. But you try things. You know, some people pay for cheap websites because you have to. You have to do something, right? You have to try things. And as you're trying things, it might not be appropriate to have a salary right away for marketing. You're going from up to 1 million. You're trying things. You're paying for cheap websites. You're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think along with building better buildings, the idea of making better marketing should be baked into the entrepreneurial pie from the beginning. I think testing stuff and using your own social media presence, your personal social media presence, like your actual Facebook profile, your LinkedIn profile, your Instagram profile, doing little videos, that's the best way from my point of view from the beginning to try stuff and to throw stuff at the wall, see what sticks. And then the next phase, I do think it can be hiring a marketing agency. It also can be, you know, there's two tracks, you know, you can be hiring a marketing assistant, maybe somebody, if you're good at marketing, maybe it's hiring a marketing assistant that could be your marketing manager at some point. And if you're really not inclined that way, it might be working with an agency to get a couple really solid lead gen strategies. Ideally, they have some understanding of messaging so that you can help clarify your message a little bit along that process. It's hard to do from the outside though, to get like, this is why we're really different. Like, you have to know that. You have to, like, it has to stem from like your core values and like some of this leadership stuff that's harder and deeper, and an outside company can't just come over and paint that over the top of your website. So ideally some of that comes from you, and that stems back from this idea of owning your marketing. I couldn't agree more. Owning your marketing, stop paying for as many bad leads. You know, I'm not saying drop all your, you know, home advisors and your house and all this Angie's List all of the sudden if you're addicted to them. And I do think it's an addiction. I'm not saying drop it all. I'm saying try to wind that down and try to own your marketing more. Try to trade off. Try to pay for whatever lead gen strategy. Like, some people like the Facebook ad lead gen strategy. Some people like SEO, which is what we do. Some people like Google PPC. Some people like a blend of different things. But finding a couple really strong ones for your company and hammering them, hammering them. Don't try to do 10 things well. Try to hammer. Like, once you've done some of this testing, going hard on a couple that really do produce good quality leads, and always taking care of the number one, which is, you know, trying to do great service and trying to get referrals. Cause that's always like the biggest thing, no matter what. And if you're really good at getting referrals, you can actually take some of those principles and apply them into the marketing. So everything you're doing on social media is actually to increase referrals and to get your current customers excited about what's going on, making them the hero of the story and drawing out their smart decisions and saying, look at this insanely gorgeous wallpaper that this customer chose. And look at this beautiful idea for a basement bar that they came up with. Like, if you can make them the hero on social media, they'll share your story. I've seen it. You know, we don't run social media for clients now. But when I was doing that, that was one of my favorite things. Like, people want to champion you. So people want to be part of this with you as a contractor, and making the content so they can share the story is a really great way to get them to kind of spread your message. I was so surprised by how much, when you put out beautiful pictures of a remodel, for instance, that customers like to share that and say, this is my guy, this is my contractor. Work with them too.
Yeah, because it's their home, right? So that's part of their identity. It's where they live. So the contractors helped them sort of elevate their own personal brand, right? Yep. As a homeowner, and they're really proud of that. And that's this element of craft that we're always talking about in the art of construction that was not really included enough in a lot of the marketing we see, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the nuts and bolts of, we do this for you, but you don't focus on the lifestyle evolution, right, that the contractors help them do. And I'm going to build off of what you're saying. You know, I lead marketing for Art of Construction. I'm also in the marketing director for Mountain View Window and Door, Devin's company here in Colorado. And a lot of what you're saying really resonated, where that agency can only do much as far as really telling you your story. You got to first know your story. And that's a big theme of what we're talking about today with owning your marketing. So there were different agencies that done different things for Mountain View. But really, when I came in and as marketing, it became clear that this sort of in-house person like me was really needed to really understand what kind of content really translated the culture that we had as a company and the lifestyle that we were creating for our clients. At that stage that the company was at and how things were moving, there was just no way an agency could be on an intimate enough level with us. You know, I was here every day, right here in the showroom, talking to our salespeople, talking to our clients, doing this day in, day out, being a journalist of sorts to really understand what was going on. And that was the way I was able to create that sort of content and tell that story that you're talking about. But obviously, it is possible if you already do understand that story. So to build off of what you're saying, Mar, what is your process when you work with a company to create the marketing content for them? Because they got to understand the story, but then you have to come in and say, this is where we're going to take your story. And then what kind of content for our contractors listening should they be thinking about that their story can translate into, that can actually go on the internet, that can go on Google, get them to the top of the charts and actually get them leads and not just be something that someone likes, oh, that was cool, moves to the next thing.
Oh, it's so important. I want to say not everyone is a Scott Hicken. So you can
no doubt you can pay
find
your Scott money. Find your Scott
find your Scott, like, and also you could pay a ridiculous amount of money for a marketing manager. It doesn't mean that they're worth that. Like, people are like, I'm ready, I'll pay what I need to. It's hard to find the person. And I love your mindset of being a journalist. And yeah, I think that that's a really good mindset for any marketing manager out there that's doing this right now. Any marketing assistant, even an owner, like, if you are the guy that interviews the people, those, you're digging it up. You're the source of the information.
Yeah.
We all appreciate, you know, we say all this stuff about fake news. We've had a lot of hate for journalists and stuff lately, but really that mindset, like, there's a reason why people still watch it all the time, even though they're mad. You know, it's interesting. They're getting out there. They're doing real stuff. Get out of the office kind of vibe.
And I have to give a quick third party story is,
yeah,
one of the things in business coaching is they tell you to break through the ceiling. You have to fire what you think you're best at. Mm. And I went to college for marketing and thought I'm so good at this. And then I fired myself in the past, but I didn't fire myself the right way. And I raised my hand and say it became detrimental because I love marketing. And I'm like, why is this not working? And there's this agency. It's not the agency. It's because I didn't lead properly.
Yeah.
And I tell you that, Tribe, is because you have to find, to niche in, you first have to experience. We talked about that on the entrepreneurial journey, mm-hmm, of the five stages of the entrepreneurial journey, deep dive series podcast. That was great to relive that. And I'm sitting here, mm-hmm, listening to this to say, you have to, it's back to hiring the passion and setting the why and core values is the starting point of this. That sounds like a bunch of fluff until you hit it right on. And that's like the finding your why, gaining traction, all these books that you have to go, but you have to make it work for you. Mm-hmm. And then you have to find the right people that buy into that. And that's the whole tribe thing that we've created with the Art of Construction, of creating this movement. And then you can go get the right help when you figure out and find your Scotty and your why. But the people come after the process. And that's just something you have to really understand. And then you can go hook more people through this process, right? Yeah. And so that's where I'll let Scotty dive back in with you. But I just wanted to come in from the visionary point of view to say, the leader's nothing without the followers, and you have to trade hands. Like, doing this podcast is, when we're passing the baton, it's not just the leader and just the follower. You have to be able to switch roles. And that's a challenging thing when you're outsourcing inside. And so that's where I would love you to play more off of what Scotty's talking about,
sure,
with, you know, how do you work within these companies to be a critical component to add value? And that's a part, sure, I see so much with marketing agencies. It's just a check the box of leads. Mm. And we've worked really hard internally so that then we can properly outsource inside.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And so I guess just to get into the nuts and bolts of how we're trying to add value that way. Our biggest thing is keyword research. You know, we find keywords that people are actually searching. So that's basically, we start with data and we mix in creativity around topics. And something that we're working on, because something that accidentally happens sometimes with content and SEO and all this junk, is you get a dead piece of content. It's stillborn. It's sad. It's commodity content, you know? It's a difficult thing to create something that has a breath of fresh air in it every single time you create a piece of content, especially from an outside company. So two things that we're doing to try to change that a little bit is, we've got what we call challenger viewpoints and emotional hook points. So we do keyword research to find these things. And then each piece of content, we're trying to have a challenger viewpoint. Let's say we have three challenger viewpoints total for a brand and three emotional hook points, meaning challenger viewpoints. How are we changing the industry? How do we think it's just plain wrong that other contractors don't do this? What's just plain wrong? How do we have empathy? We're changing the way it's done. The industry is broken. We're fixing it. That's a challenger viewpoint. Emotional hook points, you know, obviously we work the brand in there, but they're really just, what's selling? How is it selling? Talking to the salespeople and say, hey, what are you saying when you say that people actually buy? And so it's sometimes emotional, you know, for hook, it might just be spending more time with your family because you're not doing all this yourself in the wee hours of the night. You know, for a contractor, it may be, this is a huge investment. It's, you know, people are spending money on all these meme stocks and crypto, but you're not going to take care of your home where your family is, you know? So basically these emotional hook points, trying to pull them in and say, this is why people are buying, and building those into every piece of content. So just let's say you come up with those three for yourself. You don't have to work with an agency for this. How are you challenging the industry? Come up with three short sentences that do that. Come up with three quick emotional hook points that people actually buy from in the sales process. You know that better than anyone, especially if you're a contractor going from 100,000 to 2 million, wherever you're at. Actually come up with those things. Make it clear to yourself. Everyone thinks it's smarmy, man. You've been selling. You've been doing a great job at communicating the value propositions that your company does in the sales process. Every contractor I know that gets up to 1 million or 2 million does this already in person. And then they're scared to do it on their website. So just scale what you've already been doing well onto your website. And these emotional hook points will help you do that. And making sure that there's a challenger viewpoint and an emotional hook point in every piece of content.
I absolutely love that. You know, my mantra is always be marketing, right? And I go back to like things coaching. I've got like the story brand is you have to then take what he's talking about and you have to, are you the guide or are you the hero? And I would really challenge you to be careful about who's the hero, because these people are sick of being sold or being told them how much of an expert you are. And that's where you can, if you fall on your sword and then show you got picked, get picked up. And that's where this marathon and a sprint all at the same time comes together. Yeah. What I found is my window and door company in Colorado, like my always be marketing. I've just built a whole company around highlighting the hero, which is the contractor. He's the construction. But then we also have to sometimes challenge crusty contractor is what we call them when they don't really play the game. And it's amazing the mindset of crusty contractor versus always be marketing. Mm. And that's really at the end of the day, what this is all about. So how do you get your clients engaged in this marketing mindset, or do they need to be or do they not need to be in that mindset because they have you? And that's the part you can't do it all yourself, Tribe. So that's what I'm trying to challenge and bring in experts like Tim that are giving these three points for you to think about. There's many podcasts that could be relatable to this, but then what should you do?
Yeah.
And then what should you be really thinking about and step up to the plate when you figured this out and you say this very powerful word? No, I don't do that. And that's back to what Tim talked about on his social media post is he's basically saying, no, I don't market flowers, Lamborghinis, and anything else to you. I market contractors.
Yeah.
And the whole, then you change that. Yes, I can help you, but, and if you give, then you get. And that's what I'm curious your mindset about how contractors should work with the hook agency around that mindset.
I think where I get into the how to extract from a client to be able to make good stuff, we're talking about what's selling and why more than every detail of what they do. So if you talk about the crusty contractor, I think sometimes they accidentally get into this mindset of let me go through all the details, every single last thing that I do. And that should allow you to market me better, but that's not actually what it is. It's more about the sales conversations that you're having and what are you saying to them? And your best customers often, when we see with a lot of contractors, is they're not actually trying to know how to do it themselves. They don't need to know all the details. They just need to know how and why to purchase from you. And so focusing on that stuff, I will say that we're also fairly turnkey. You know, they don't have to be the super marketing mind to work with us. Some clients just have us do our thing. Some of them, and I'd say it takes a little bit longer to get the best results for those clients because it's a little less. I think when you get the synergy between the inside resource and the agency and they're pumping, it does better. You know, just like we're about to go out and do trade shows and we have a new website coming. And so those together are going to do a lot. The more marketing things you've got going on, they work together. You know, it's hard to market a company that has like three reviews, for instance, right? it doesn't matter how many people you get on your website. If they go see, you only have three reviews and you know, one of them's from your mom. It's hard.
Yeah. And then once you now have the mindset to say either you're growing or dying, and I think it's pretty obvious where the Art of Construction tribe wants to be. And then you figured out internally, then you can go get the right amount of help. Cause you don't want to have your internal person that's really your journalist, like Scott is for our companies and has a team doing that. You only want to niche in so far to where you don't want to have someone be a full bore SEO person. That's where you want to start hiring out.
Yeah.
And the part I want to highlight on here is there's a huge difference, and I've lived this and we've all lived this, between getting the right leads and just getting leads and have someone to say, you pay me this per lead. Don't do that. Don't hire a company that's just about just checking the box. I've done it, doesn't work. So leads that are not best suited for your company and waste your time, because that's what it actually does. It's a double whammy. It's the wrong leads. And that's first on you to look yourself in the mirror before you go get help. Don't just say, help me, and I don't know where I need help. Well, that's on you, back what we talked at the beginning.
Yeah.
This is who I am. This is our core values. This is our why. This is who we are. Go get more people that match up so we can be the best guides, or what we call trusted advisors or warriors of the tribe. And then so you don't end up losing even more money, because if you get the wrong leads and you can't do it well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to screw up with those leads and you're going to get pissed off. And it's just a bad spiral.
Yeah.
So why should contractors set up their website, SEO, et cetera, so on and so forth in your world, and then get the right leads? What's your take on that, Tim?
You know, it's funny because our whole tagline is hook better leads. And I believe that, but I do kind of need to challenge you on this a little bit and get a little bit of alternative opinion, because I think part of filtering bad leads is on the sales teams, not on marketing. And it is very hard, just to be real. If I could, I'd turn them off. I'd be like, done. But I get that some people might find this offensive and distasteful, but if you get too focused.
All right, here we go, Trev. Yeah. Here goes. Yeah. All leads are good leads. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
Exactly. The marketing guy comes in here and tries to give me this spiel again. Yeah, you get too focused on filtering bad leads, though, you will strip out many good ones as well. So that's the hard part. But nonetheless,
and I have to challenge because we lived it. Then it gets to a point where there's no good leads, because now I'm a prima donna and I'm too good for everybody and I don't want to qualify. So and then that becomes the next key thing here to unwind.
That's real. Because Devin, one second. Just, I agree 100% with that. And that's a scary thing, because I have a separate sales guy right now and he does that sometimes. And like, sometimes you just need to get better about communicating that on the phone to the person that calls. Like, you can't just, this is the price and buy. Like, you have to be better about also explaining the value. Go ahead.
I was just going to add that there is the case, Tim, though, that there are a lot of these agencies that just pay per lead, like Devin was saying, and it's just purely about the numbers.
Yes.
And they're not trying to streamline that market to sales funnel to actually reach the ideal customer. So how does a contractor know the difference? How do they know what agency is really going to help them get the right leads versus an agency that just sells them a mailing list, sells them a certain amount of leads that they got off some random website or something? How do contractors know the difference? Yeah.
So stop buying those.
And
really just figure out where the closed deals are coming from. I say this a lot. So I get a little sick of saying it, and I probably should say it more. And that's true with a lot of your marketing. So that's a good reminder in general.
Repetition.
If you're sick of saying it, they're just starting to hear it. And that is, for me, figure out where the closed deals are coming from. Actually look at your closed deals. We actually do that with our clients.
Wait, you should market to what works.
Yes. Yeah. I know it's novel. It is novel for marketers, though. You should know that it is actually novel for marketers.
Well, that's the whole thing of why we have to talk about this stuff in deep, deep detail is to say what you focus on will grow. And if something that you're doing is not working and you're not having as much fun as possible to build better buildings, hey, Tribe, I got a secret for you. That's on you, because you're taking in what's not good and then you're saying yes to it. Scott, what's the word we got to get better at?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. No, we don't do that. But then you have to have a marketing company make people feel good about, no, I don't do that. And they go get another proven partner that does do that. Yep. And back to the key thing of, you have to use digital marketing to get referrals. There, people buy through digital nowadays.
That's those are the better leads that Tim is talking about, right?
Yep. Yeah. And referral is always the, like, I think of it as like tiers. Referral is always the best lead. Somebody knows you, they talk to their friend, they're like ready for a like being expensive. They're cool. They get it. They're ready. You know, they've seen the work. They know why it's more expensive, that kind of thing. And then second is, to me, it's search. Search. I mean, it, realistically, that's what I sell. So it's hard to be impartial, but I think a lot of outside expert, like anybody like you guys, generally understands those search ones are pretty good. I think it goes down to Facebook and these ones where you're kind of interrupting people, you know, you're interrupting with Facebook ads. They work. They work. But let's look at the close rate on those leads. Let's be real. And all I want you to do is not take what I'm saying for it. I want you to look at your close rate on different lead types and then come talk to me when it's search is number two. You know, that's
know
that's
your
all.
Numbers. You have to, you have to know your numbers. Don't expect what you don't inspect and have just have some agency manage your numbers. That's a recipe for disaster. Cause guess what numbers they're going to manage. They're going to manage the numbers they're selling you.
Yeah. What makes them the money.
I mean, that's just business, right? So that's on you if you've done it that way. Right. So back to the whole thing is about building this word called trust. That's what it's all about. That's why we call our sales reps trusted advisors, because that's what the whole game in construction is about.
Things in marketing that you can do to filter bad opportunities is be honest. People are scared to be honest, and you need to talk to your marketing company about this. It's okay if we're honest and it doesn't get us shit deals. Just, you know, I don't know why you have to talk to your agency about that, but we get optimized for leads. You know, it is agency's prerogative to try to get you more leads. And just saying like, hey, if we have a bottom end, you know, if we only take remodeling projects over 50K, let's tell people that on the website. Let's just throw up more stuff to give them clarity and say, why are you more expensive? This and this. That's great marketing copy. This is why we're more expensive. Consider adding a scheduler rather than a lead form. That's something I've been seeing on home services websites, something we're testing. I think it could be a good thing. It basically, if you have to schedule an intro call or a inspection or something like that, you're a little bit more qualified before you do that sometimes. So consider that as a test. I think a high-end website, your real work, your best work, honest language, just focusing on the ideal customers more and more. Try to not get obsessed with trash leads. They're expensive, right? They actually are expensive because you're wasting your salespeople's time on them. But try not to get obsessed with them and start to be all catty in your copy and on your social. Like, just focus on your ideal customers more and more and try not to get too obsessed with these bad leads. Because it
less is
more distracting. Yeah, it's distracting.
Yeah. But yeah, and less is more. And the key takeaway that I want the tribe to really hear from what you're saying, the difference, there's two types of agencies. There's an agency, let's say you're a roofer, right? So there's an agency that goes, all right, you're a roofer. This is what we talk about for roofing. And so they just go, they have their content already ready to go. Okay, we apply this to the roofer.
Yeah.
Versus what you're saying, a good agency, it's about what you do, but it's also about what your ideal customer is. And that I think is a difference that the tribe should always be careful about. Is your marketing person just caring about the nuts and bolts of what you do, which is easy, right? You can Google any trade and just learn about it, right? What they do. You can just Google that. That doesn't take any critical skill. What takes the critical skill is to actually learn what is the ideal customer and what makes them tick. And that is 1,000 times more important. Anyone can describe the process of roofing. Not everyone can really hone in on what the ideal customer is. And that brings us to the next point, though, which is about, Devin was talking about the numbers and about the analytics and about a marketing company is going to give you the analytics that they set out, the metrics they set out to make the money from you that they need to make. What numbers should a contractor care about, Tim, no matter if they have an agency or not? Obviously, leads is one thing, but let's talk about, I don't know, conversion rates, website hits. What are those things that a contractor should go into a relationship with a marketing agency knowing that they're going to keep track of, or do they really not need to keep track of anything? What's your take on that?
please keep track of stuff and, yeah. and get better about that, because you're absolutely right. And there's agencies taking advantage of low sophistication contractors all over the country right now. And that's actually fucking sad.
It is.
And ultimately, focus on closed deals. And then underneath that, everything else, right? Closed deals. But in the meantime, you're pushing up. So it kind of goes down from there. Qualified leads. I think that those can be two separate things, qualified leads and leads. This is what I get. I'm the marketing manager as well as the owner of this company for Hook. Mm-hmm. And that's what I get tested on, is like, if there's a bunch of leads, but not qualified leads, what are we doing wrong? Are we just trying to create activity, or are we trying to close deals?
Yeah.
So, and
this is the part where I totally have to jump here and say, you have to begin with the end in mind. But we have defined what the Art of Construction Tribe is, putting together a whole thing with all kinds of deep dive series podcasts around building the IT house, but then getting the riches and the niches of how you use drones and as a critical part of your business, and how we elevate the trades. But it's all through this customer care wheel. If you truly begin with the end in mind, you have to have these scorecards along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, when this customer comes in, let's be frank about it, it gives you the best profitability. But then the undertones is, how did we have as much fun as possible? How do we build better buildings? That stuff is, how do you actually take, in the past was everybody said, Devin, that's just a bunch of fluff. No, it's not. Yeah. It's called your core values, and how more people are coming in and doing more of that and having better relationships, and things like you check to say how those leads, Scott and I both know referrals in the website is the number two things. And then you have to have call to actions around that.
Yeah. And I think it's traffic and organic traffic, which are both fluffy in a way, you know, so you can't get stuck there, you know, organic traffic from Google. And it's not very hard to see if you have Google Analytics on your website. Google Search Console is great, but it does feel fluffy to a business owner. This idea of like more eyeballs on our website. So we could just write a bunch of mommy blogs about like the best pacifiers and get a bunch of traffic, you know, like, but it wouldn't give us deals. Right. So the idea is, you have to track that stuff, even though it feels fluffy, traffic and organic traffic. And things I suggest not worrying about: conversion rate, percentage conversion rate. Now, conversion numbers, leads, I do strongly suggest worrying about. But the reason I don't suggest worrying about conversion rate is because ultimately I've seen you can increase traffic a lot on a website, and it's not a bad thing. I've had people say like, I need to get rid of that blog because it doesn't convert. Not every blog is intended to convert. And I strongly suggest not focusing on that idea. And so I'm basically saying, worry about the number of conversions, not about the conversion percentage. It's kind of like the same thing with proposals, like in sales, where it's like, don't worry about the percentage of proposals that closed. Worry about the ultimate number, that's going up. Because if you worry about that percentage, you'll have sales guys that are like, I don't want to give a proposal. They're not like closed deal quite yet. It's like, how are they, how would you know for sure that they're not a closed deal? Just send the proposal, man. You know, that's the vibe a little bit.
And that's the key to sort of content marketing, which is, it's not always just about selling. It's about educating, and those educational pieces, while you might not see them converting right away, they're elevating your brand to be that trustworthy expert for what you need. And you got to have a balance of both, I think, right?
Yeah. And that is the weird part, because like agencies are trying to help. This is the one, like some good agencies, there's a good chunk, let's say like 30% or something. I don't know. We talked about how marketing agencies suck, so I'm trying to give it to you. There are a lot of shit marketers out there, but basically leads, we're held accountable completely for leads, but you really are trying to help companies build their brand as well. And those go hand in hand. And that's why ultimately, if you do find a good marketing agency, stick with them. I'm not trying to cause problems. If you have a good relationship with your current agency, stick longer and just figure out a way to get the best out of them. Also, prices are probably going up in this next year, as prices for everything are going up. So just stick with your current price if you're able to do that. Because it's, you know, so stick with your agency if they're doing these things, but ultimately they're trying to help with brand, not just leads, and they really do matter. So if you understand brand as a company owner, that really helps you because you want to do both at the same time. But ultimately it is true. If there's no leads whatsoever from a channel, like after a year and a half of going hard on it,
something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Something's gone wrong. Or really you have to, like, it's hard to know because there's nothing worse than doing an experiment where you didn't really give everything. You didn't try hard enough. And so you failed, but you don't have any data about whether that channel works or does not work. So really when you do your tests, let's say it's a year test or something like that, go hard, do something real. So you don't have like a false negative kind of thing or a false positive. Like the point is you want a failure to actually mean something when you do fail, because failure is not failure. If you learn something from it, if you learn nothing from it, it's, you really wasted that year. That's terrible.
And so that's what you need to track, really, is what you're saying, is yeah, not those conversion rates, the percentages, because it's different for type of trade, right? Every type of contractor, some might be 10%, some might be 80%, depends on like how many leads are coming in versus like how popular your type of trade is.
Real quick there, the important piece, where those leads came from.
Yeah.
What sources led to those leads? Referrals, organic traffic, paid traffic, social media, et cetera, you know, partners or whatever. So where they came from. And then I do think year over year data is really good. Like don't do the 3 month over 3 month when your stuff's popping in the spring and, you know, it doesn't make sense. Like, well, we have more leads than we did in January. No shit. So
you know, that's true. You got to think about
this,
that.
Why this year, the numbers, why we ended up positive and last year we were negative. Like what's the difference? Like what's the undertones that caused that? And marketing.
Yes. And I will say this has been a weird year. Like, and also like there has been just human things going on. So for instance, your traffic, everyone that's listening to this, traffic might be down right now. Sorry. It's actually just human beings getting out of the house more. So there is something going on where you have to kind of look at those like societal trends too.
Yeah, the forced winter, like where we had to be stuck in our house. Man, I think people want to be in a computer right now. So
So there is a little bit of that.
And my other advice is don't overthink it. Like this is where marketing, we have a tendency to sit and talk about, and we never actually start tracking it because it's too hard and there's too much stuff. Yeah. That's where you got to go get the right help. But what you focus on will grow. Like start really simple. And that's where I look at things that it may not have been great data, but Scott, think about coming in and having 3 years of that data that you could start manipulating and building from that you had a baseline, right? If you didn't have that, it would have taken you a lot longer to understand, am I doing the right things as a director orchestrating this network?
Yeah. And I think that's also a key difference. You don't, as a business owner, maybe necessarily have to track every single thing, but you should keep it because one day you might have an agency or you might have a marketing guy come in and then you're going to go, okay, here's all this great data for you to analyze. So even if you're not tracking everything, keeping track, knowing that somewhere you could go in and find that data for the last 2 years, last 3 years, like if you're not doing that, then you're essentially going to have to start over every time you hire someone new. And I think that's the thing a lot of contractors we've seen through the Art of Construction, even different companies struggle with, is if they weren't properly tracking the relationships with their past customers, when they hired this agency, they have to essentially pay the agency to do all this research where they could have just done it themselves the entire history of their company. And that's, I think, the mindset we're trying to encourage contractors to get into during this conversation, right, is own your marketing. And a lot of that is you have to really have a track record of the history of how you've closed deals. And when you haven't closed deals, why not? Because an agency will be able to figure that out for you, but not to the extent that you're going to know it yourself.
Sure. Yeah. And it's hard if, you know, we got to pick your brain. You know, we're trying to get context is so big in marketing to be able to have context. That's why we do like having an internal marketing manager to work with a lot of times, is because the context that person has,
the nuance of the personalities of what's happening.
And like just knowing all the failures, you know, we have so many failures that we've had to go through, and we're trying to keep our employees. This is tough, right? All of us, we're trying to keep employees and stuff like that. And because they have memory, you know, it's hard to have organizational memory sometimes of like all the failures that you've had, but that's value. There's tons of value in that.
Tons. So.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we're in the relationship business, and it's been fascinating, the reading of, you know, Katerra falling down, but the Steve Burrows, when we have him and talk about how it's the greatest time to be in construction, talking about exactly what Katerra wasn't successful at. So when you're looking at that stuff, is how do you win at the relationship business, but doing it from the numbers? And that's the art of construction, of managing those relationships, but the relationships have to be fed through the data. And that's a fine line of where you go. And I'm a fan of always highlighting and being a guide, take care of the tribe, and the tribe takes care of the rest of the tribe. And then we all keep growing together, and we all are marketing each other, because construction is so hard if you try to do it yourself, hence what Katerra just went through.
Yeah. And then just to wrap up this conversation here, one of the biggest differences in marketing is the difference between B2B, business to business marketing, B2C, business to consumer marketing. And with the window and door company that I do marketing for Devin, it's a mix of both, right? We serve homeowners maybe 20-30% of the time. The other 70%, though, are those professionals, the architects, the builders. We're actually selling our services to them directly. And there's different ways that you talk to them, obviously. Homeowners, it's always about the lifestyle. It's about what you're going to do for them. Like you had talked about at the very beginning of this conversation, spend more time with your family, enjoy your home more, all those things. When you're selling your services to the contractor, to the architect, to someone that's the GC on the project, it's much more about, I'm not going to waste your time, I'm going to do it good, all these things.
Yeah.
It's a very nuanced blend that we do here to mix our marketing, to talk to both the homeowners and the contractors and architects all at the same time. Yeah. What do you see as the blend between B2B and B2C marketing in either the clients that you have or just in the construction industry as a whole?
Yeah, it's often people talk about how you should do more B2C type marketing to B2B. So they say, well, they're humans. It's human to human marketing. And I agree, but I'd also mix in a little bit of what salespeople are doing on the B2B side, marketers need to learn to do on the marketing side. You know, that every single piece of content that you put out on social media should be to increase referrals. It's part of it. It's not just to get likes and to make homeowners say, yeah. You know, it's actually to remind your referral partners you exist, that you're the good guys, and that you do quality work, and that you'd honor their referral. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help people understand I'd honor their referral no matter what, even if we're not the right fit for somebody, that we're going to be nice, that we're going to try to get them where they need to go. So we're the, like, the progressive of marketing agencies. If we're not the right fit, we'll find the right fit for you, kind of thing. And that vibe on social media. So have a B2B sales mindset on your marketing. It's weirdly effective no matter who you are. If you're a contractor, if you're a manufacturer, whatever it happens, if you're a reseller, it doesn't matter. If you have that mindset, you will get more deals from your marketing efforts.
Awesome. Well, in closing this up, one thing I want to make sure the Art of Construction tribe is aware of, that you just launched a new book. What's the book all about?
So it's called 101 Proven Ways to Hook Better Leads. Talk about a lot of ways to just get out there, get new business. It is a lot of do-it-yourself type stuff. So for instance, if you're going from, you know, fresh and new business owner up to that 1 million mark, this is a great, great option for you. But it's also a refresher and just kind of a lot of digital marketing stuff if you just want to dive in. It's pretty short. And if you want a free audiobook version of it, it's like 110 pages or something like that, the paper version. But it's like 2.5 hours, I think, on the audiobook version. You can send a message now to our sales guy, Tracy@hookagency.com. Just make the subject Hook Better Leads, and he'll know what to do, and he'll send you the audiobook for free. So
awesome. How do you spell Tracy?
Tracy@hookagency.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for offering that up to the tribe. That's absolutely a lot of great ways to go out. This thing is all for you, contracts and affiliates, to grow your business. You know, Tim, great stuff. We'll have the tribe go out and you know, get the book and get more information.
Sure.
To close this thing out, we always ask, what is your crystal ball for connecting the right technology to the right handshakes with the future in construction?
Decrease the amount of steps to give you money. So that idea of the scheduler on the website, shorter proposals, besides the small print. I know you guys got to have your small print, but make it easy and stop treating your deals like they are basically so much money. I think a lot of, like, lately, and this is just sales mindset, I think it's a good thing. Just ask people, hey, you want to do it? Stop acting like it's such a heavy deal when you got big, big chunks of money flowing. Be cooler with the big chunks of money and say, want to do it.
I love that. You know, I always talk about delegate and elevate, but in the middle of that, you need to automate. And that's the new world where the Tim Brown and his teams can help with that stuff. When he talks about a scheduler, I know I raise my hand and say, I don't know what that means, how to do that. Like, go get the right help to delegate once you figured out your why, so you can automate to do less of the old school stuff. So leaving the tribe out there, the one thing we want to ask, what's that one thing to dangle the carrot to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Really just, I did say it earlier, but find a few marketing strategies that drive closable deals and double down on those. For instance, it might be home shows and SEO, but whatever they are for you, stop wasting money on 10 times of different types of marketing activities that are just fancy ways to lose money. Like, for instance, magazines. I've seen people, I don't even want to be mean to magazines out there, but people are spending $20,000 on a magazine article. And every new social media platform, I'm not saying don't test, but don't sit there wasting money on 10 different tips. Double down on a couple really solid ways to drive leads.
Love it. Tim, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story with the Art of Construction Tribe.
Thank you, sir.
Scotty, what you focus on will grow. And I love how Tim challenges us, but also calls it real. Like, and I love real marketing, right? And at the end of the day, there's not some secret marketing box that this perfect hook agency is just going to know everything and do it perfectly. You actually have to go to the principles that make it work to gain traction. You know, when we were doing the interview with him, I'm sitting there looking at him, and he is a lifelong learner. And that is the secret thing about the Art of Construction. And I was sitting there looking at all the books on the back, and I've read almost every one of those because I like see just the colors and the nuances of traction and all these books. And it's funny how it's all these same things, and what you focus on will grow, right? And how these emotional touches really do matter. And it's not just a bowl of fluff and crusty contractor calls the shots. It's a changing game. What's your take, Scotty?
It's a changing game. And it's also at the same time going back to the core of what construction is, which is relationships, personal relationships. And what we've seen on LinkedIn over the months and over the years is that Tim clearly has very personal relationships with these contractors that he's serving. And I loved that little bit there at the end where Tim just said, he's talking about deals and really big deals and how sometimes people take it too seriously and just got to say, let's do it. What that to me signifies is that level of perceived trust that you already have with the client. And if you're just going at it and you're treating everything like, oh, I don't know, we got to be really serious. I don't know if I'm going to get it. No, that's not what people in this business like. They like to basically have a friend that they're working with, someone that is a personal part of their business, a part of their home, a part of their professional network. And I just wanted to also add, if you're going down this marketing vein, listening to this podcast right now, we have another one, AOC Show 189, adding value to your customers is the ultimate marketing. So that was all about content marketing. With Spencer Power of Builder Funnel Radio. And that was a great conversation if you want to dive more into content marketing. But for this conversation, I really wanted to get at Tim, what is the overall business mindset a contractor should have about marketing? And in the end, I think he said it well, that less is more. In the end, you shouldn't be focused on trying every shiny new object or paying $60,000 for some cool magazine to spotlight you. In the end, you should know who is your best friend that's a customer and how do you get just a few more of those every year and then go from there.
I love it. Yeah, we'll make sure to put information on the show notes to reach out to Tim and his team to get that audiobook, to just keep focusing on a few things and keep growing that together. And we're honored to have Tim and the team as a partner of the Art of Construction Tribe. We're go follow him and all of us on social media where we're going to keep making mistakes. We're all going to fall down. But the Art of Construction tribe is here to pick you up and go have as much fun as possible. Thanks for joining me, Scotty.
Thanks for having me on, Devin.